Thank you, Jennifer. I will call to order the Rail Belt Transmission Organization Governance Committee meeting for August 14th, 2026 to order. Jennifer, if we could do a roll call for committee members, please.
Yes, sir. Alaska Energy Authority.
Curtis Thayer, here.
Chugach Electric Association.
Dr. Miller, here.
The City of Seward.
Brian Hickey, here.
Homer Electric Association.
Carol Lamb, here.
Matanuska Electric Association.
Tony Izzo, I'm present.
Golden Valley Electric Association.
Travis Million, here.
The Rail Belt Reliability Council.
Ed Jenkins, here.
You have a quorum, Chair.
Hey, thank you. We'll move on to public roll call for all others present, please.
Okay, we'll start with the folks on the Teams meeting. If you would like to identify yourself, state your name and affiliation for the record.
Hi, Tina Grovier, Stoll Reeves, Counsel for the RTO.
Bill Price, Carl Monroe, Energy Authority.
Carl Monroe, Consultant for the RTO.
Jeff Spooler,
HA. Daniel Heckman, Golden Valley.
Okay, are there
Andrew
others?
Andrew Jensen, Governor's Office, sorry.
Matt Clarkson, Chugach.
Kim Hinkle, NEA.
Okay, Chair, that's everybody that's on the Teams meeting. Next, we'll go to the folks in the room.
Karen Bell, the Alaska Energy Authority.
Mark Billings, the Alaska Energy Authority.
Okay, Chair, I think that is everybody.
Okay, thank you. Moving on to item four, I just need a motion to approve the agenda, please.
So moved, Hickey.
Second, Curtis Thayer.
Okay. Any changes to the agenda from any of the committee members? All right, hearing and seeing none, Jennifer, if we could do a roll call vote to approve the agenda as presented, please.
Yes, sir. Chugach Electric Association.
Arthur Miller, yes.
The City of Seward.
Brian Hickey, yes.
Homer Electric Association.
Sarah Lamb, yes.
Matanuska Electric Association.
Tony Izzo, yes.
Golden Valley Electric Association.
Travis Million, yes.
Alaska Energy Authority.
Curtis Thayer, yes.
You have a quorum. The motion carries, Chair.
All right, thank you. Moves us on to item five, public comments.
Okay. Is there anyone in the room that would like to make a public comment? Nobody in the room. Is there anyone on the Teams meeting that would like to make a public comment? Please raise your hand. If there's anyone on the Teams call-in phone that would like to make a public comment, please let us know. Okay, Chair, no public comments.
Thank you. Moving on to item six. Approval of the meeting minutes from July 24, 2026. These were included in your packet. Just need a motion to approve those minutes, please.
Curtis Thayer, move to approve.
Arthur Miller, second.
Thank you, Arthur. Any changes to the minutes by any of the committee members? Right, hearing and seeing none, Jennifer, if we could do a roll call vote for the approval of the minutes from July 24th.
Yes, sir. The City of Seward?
Yes.
Homer Electric Association?
Sarah Lamb, yes.
Matanuska Electric Association?
Tony Izzo, yes.
Golden Valley Electric Association?
Travis Million, yes.
Alaska Energy Authority?
Curtis Thayer, yes.
Chugach Electric Association?
Arthur Miller, yes.
The motion carries, Chair.
All right, thank you. Moving on, item A, open access transmission tariff RCA docket U2528. Tina, I'll turn it over to you for updates on that.
Good morning. Can you all hear and see me? Okay, great. There have been no substantive orders or filings in the docket since our last meeting. I do, however, have matters related to draft business practices, RFPs, Gantt chart, and next steps related to the oath to discuss with you in executive session, the immediate knowledge of which could have an adverse effect on the legal and financial position of the RTO or the committee members, or they're protected by or confidential under state, federal, and local law. Thank you.
Thank you, Tina. Any questions for Tina? All right, not seeing any hands raised. We'll move on to item B, technical subcommittee update. Mr. Sinclair, I think you're online. If you can give us an update, please.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. This is John Sinclair. Technical subcommittee continues to work through business practices, and we do have one on the docket for approval today, extended interruptions. And once we get to that agenda item, I can go through it, but our focus has been business practices. We also have been looking at the local regional allocator RFP. There was a conversion from the draft that we originally did to one that meets the state procurement, and we're going through that right now as well. So we have that RFP and business practices in the works, and that has been our focus. That's all I got.
Thank you, Mr. Sinclair. Any questions for Mr. Sinclair? All right, thank you. Moving on to the tariff subcommittee update, Mr. Hickman.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning, everyone. So the tariff subcommittee has not met since the last governance committee meeting, but we still continue to work on the draft confidential information business practice. As we're discussed a little bit later on, the timeline for that has shifted somewhat due just to the complexity of that topic and the subject matter on the business practice. I'll defer to Ms. Bell on a discussion on the billing procedures business practice that has been kickstarted in front of the finance subcommittee. But other than that, kind of where we're along with Mr. Sinclair, working on business practices, but anticipating that when September 2nd comes around, our subcommittee, along with the other subcommittees, are going to be busy working on compliance with whatever is issued by the Regulatory Commission. So that is all, but happy to stand by for any questions or from the committee.
Any questions for Mr. Hickman? Seeing none, thank you. We'll move on to Finance Subcommittee update. Ms. Bell, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, Chair. The Finance Subcommittee continues to meet weekly to make progress on business practices. We are currently reviewing the cost of service billing calculation, and that has also been discussed with Tariff Subcommittee members as well. We're also reviewing the scope of work for the cost of capital study. The plan is to finalize that scope after we've received the final order in U25028 to incorporate any changes due to that order. Later on in this meeting, I will be presenting a policy and business practice on the RTO budget process to the Governance Committee. The policy focuses on the process to develop an annual budget and any budget amendments, and the business practice focuses on how that budget is then used to calculate a tariff administration charge in the tariff according to Schedule 1A. Both will be discussed under new business. Thank you.
Any questions for Ms. Bell? Seeing none, we'll move on to new business practices and policy presentations. So, Ms. Bell, I will turn it right back over to you for the budget policy discussion.
Thank you, Chair. One moment. I'm just pulling up the PowerPoint presentation on my computer. So the RTO budget policy outlines the process for adopting and revising the Rail Belt Transmission annual budget to ensure transparency, compliance, and timely cash flow. How the budget is approved is set forth in the RTO's bylaws. and resolution number 2501 of the RTO gave the responsibility of recommending a budget and budget amendments to the governance committee to the finance subcommittee. The policy outlines the timing of the annual budget, and that's pursuant to the bylaws. The budget, the annual budget needs to be approved by the governance committee 90 days before the start of the fiscal year, which is around the very beginning of April. The policy also covers the scope of the budget, which is generally AEA's administrative costs related to the RTO, any contractual costs, legal subject matter experts, any governance committee costs, things like food, any if we need to do transcription, and then anything that may be related to regulatory and compliance that comes out of an RCA order that we have to do also falls under the budget. As I mentioned, there's the authority and responsibility. The budget needs to be approved by the governance committee, and it is the finance subcommittee who will be recommending that. Budget amendments would happen if we see that we will be falling, if we have a budget deficit or a budget surplus. And then the intention is to report the budget to actuals to the RTO governance committee at their regular meetings. So that is the what the budget policy covers. Are there any questions?
Any questions for Ms. Bell on the budget policy? Hearing or seeing none, thank you. If we want to move on, I guess, to the budget process and business practice?
Yes. So the next slide in the PowerPoint is the budget process for the Tariff Administration Service Charge. And this is a business practice because it is tied to the language and tariff. It's tied to Schedule 1A of the RTO's proposed tariff. And it basically says that the purpose of the charge is to recover the actual costs of administering the tariff. In order to do that, the RTO is going to reconcile the budget to actuals for each fiscal year. However, there are certain situations where we may need to amend the budget and amend the charge. And that will happen if we have a budget deficit and that occurs during the year. We would have to go back to the governance committee and request an amendment to approve that. And then because it is a tariff charge, if there is a change, we would have to go back to the RCA through a tariff filing and ask them to approve any changes to the charge. The charge we have stated in our proposed tariff would be a tariff advice filing. So that could be open for investigation by the RCA. If there's a budget surplus pursuant to what's proposed in the tariff, we would reconcile budget to actuals at the end of the year and then lower next year's rate by what the budget surplus is. So it would not be a refund, it would be a lowering of the following year's rate. All of the charges would have to be approved by the RCA, as I mentioned, and we would be following the RTO's business practice, 101 for tariff filings to do those submittals. Any questions?
Any questions for Ms. Bell on this particular business practice?
Okay.
Here, seeing none. So I'm going to have Tina possibly pop in because I may have missed the mark under the budget policy that the governance committee would need to make a motion to approve that budget policy as well as this business practice we're discussing now. So is that correct, Tina?
Yes, that is correct, but you can do it after the presentation if you would like.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. So if the committee is good with that, we will go through the three different items under new business and then do the suggested motion to approve all three of them in one tranche if that works.
You can.
Or separately, either way.
You'll make it work, I'm sure.
Okay. Sounds good. All right, no questions for Ms. Bell on that one? Okay. Continue on.
The next business practice will be discussed by Mr. Sinclair, and that is extended interruptions, and that had been worked on by the technical subcommittee.
Excellent. Mr. Sinclair, if you could step in and cover the business practice for extended interruptions, please.
Thank you, Chair. This is John Sinclair, and we're talking about extended interruptions. This was put into the tariff required by statute, and the idea is if a portion of the BTS is isolated for more than 24 hours, then that portion would effectively default to a local instead of regional allocation. That's the general concept. The business practice outlines how to report those extended interruptions and how to do the calculation for the percentage of load that is isolated, the calculation for the percentage of time in the extended interruption, and then ultimately how you adjust your ATRR and your cost of service for those extended interruptions. And then if we could jump to the next slide, I can walk through at a high level a quick calculation so you guys get a better idea of what we're talking about. So that first block is demonstrating how you would do the cost of service calculation without an extended interruption. And that basically, and again, these are just illustrative. These aren't real numbers, but looking at it just to give you an idea, your normal ATRR calculation for allocation would include a local and regional. We assume 10% would be regional and 90% would be local. And that just outlines how you would calculate then your regional, and then you would calculate your 12CP to reallocate those costs. So that is our standard calculation, nothing new or different. Then if you jump to the next set, which is listed as the business practice 3.2, in this particular example, we had about 30% of the time there was an extended interruption. So basically 70% of your calculation would then be the standard process where you would have 90% is local and 10% is regional, and you do the standard calculation. So if you look at that section, it's basically 70% is what you wind up with. There's no change, but then you got to deal with the 30% of the time that was in the extended interruption. And that jumps down to your what's listed as section 3.4, and we start breaking those up into individual chunks of time, the 3.72, below that you see a 5.06%. That is the portion of time that each extended interruption occurred, because within each extended interruption, you have to figure out how much of each network customer's load was in the extended interruption. And you can see that calculation as 2%, for example, under the 3.72%. The 2% of Chugach's load was in this particular extended interruption. You go over Golden Valley was zero, the 100% for Healy, Homer, 0% for NEA, 0% for Seward. And that's important because, again, you take the percentage of your ATRR, which was, in this case, for that 3.72%, it worked out to 78,000, for example, under Chugach. And then you take 2% of that, which is the load that was included in the extended interruption, which works out to that 1579, and that is local. The rest of it then goes into, because it was in the extended interruption, it becomes local. The rest of that, you then start calculating how much will wind up in regional and how much will wind up in local. And you can see the calculations wind up with 42% in the – that's actually the 12CP minus 2%. I say minus. You would take away the 2%, it's 98% of what your original 12CP was. And basically you do that for every single utility. And then you wind up reallocating, and we call it normalized 12CP, because if you look all the way over to the right, you see that 88.6%. That's not 100% because we reallocated all the percentages based on load. So you end up with not 100%, and you take that 88, basically 42.89 divided by 88 gives you your 48%, which is your normalized 12CP. That's how you break out the dollar amounts, and that part becomes part of your cost of service for that particular time that the extended interruption occurred. You repeat that for each extended interruption. The nice thing is the spreadsheet will do it really quick, And then you get your totals. Basically, if you scroll down to the bottom, it's just a sum of each one of those individual extended interruptions. And in this example, and I would anticipate in most extended interruptions, it has a minimal impact on your overall change to cost of service. However, if you had a longer one for multiple days or months, it could impact, say, if we're working on the Southern Tie, you would see a shift for that month for Homer, for example. But that's a very high-level walkthrough of how we would do the extended interruption, taking into account the duration and the amount of load that is in that extended interruption, and then reallocation of your regional and local percentages. It's a lot of math. I can go over or answer any questions on it, but basically it's a math formula, and it spits out how much got isolated during the outage. Again, I realize it's a big spreadsheet with lots of numbers, so if there are specific questions, happy to answer it. But basically, this is a business practice that outlines how to do the math to make sure anything in the extended interruption goes to local. And with that, happy to take questions. I didn't want to bore you with a bunch of math, but the formulas are there for you.
Questions for Mr. Sinclair? Yes, sir, go ahead.
Yeah, I just to summarize then, John, it looks like this is going to be something that we complete monthly, but is the calculation more on an interruption-by-interruption basis?
Yeah, so it will be on an interruption-by-interruption because it's got to account for both the time for that interruption and how much load was in the interruption. So, yes, it will be done per interruption and then summed.
Thank you.
Questions for Mr. Sinclair? Any further information, Mr. Sinclair, or does that cover everything you wanted to today?
Yeah, that covers the extended interruption. Again, happy to answer any questions you guys have on it, but it's fairly straightforward math to figure it out. So.
Excellent. Well, thank you for taking the time to brief us on that. With that, I will move on. There are two suggested motions that Jennifer had sent out this morning, one on the budget policy 8A1 and the second for the two business practices that we just heard about, the budget process and the extended outages. So I would entertain a motion to approve the budget policy first, if a board member would so wish to do so.
Mr. Chair, I move that the RTO approve budget policy to be effective at the same time as the RTO's non-discriminatory open access tariff goes into effect. Further, Chair Million will work with the RTO Council to finalize the draft with the understanding that no material changes will be made without bringing the policy back to the committee.
AEA or Curtis, second.
Okay. Any discussions on the motion in front of us? All right. Hearing none, Jennifer, if we could do a roll call vote to approve the budget policy, that'd be great. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Homer Electric Association?
Sarah Lamb, yes.
Matanuska Electric Association?
Tony Izzo, yes.
Golden Valley Electric Association?
Travis Million, yes.
Alaska Energy Authority?
Curtis Thayer, yes.
Chugach Electric Association?
Arthur Miller, yes.
The City of Seward?
Brian Hickey, yes.
The motion carries, Chair.
Thank you. So I'd entertain a motion now to accept the two business practices we discussed.
Okay, I will. I'm sorry. I move the RTO approve the budget process business practices and extended interruption business practices to be effective at the same time as the RTO's non-discriminatory open access transmission tariff goes into effect. Further, Chair Million will work with the RTO Council to finalize the drafts with the understanding that no material changes will be made without bringing the business's practices back to the committee.
Second.
Super. Thank you. Any discussion on the motion on the table at this point? Hearing and seeing none, Jennifer, we need a roll call vote to approve the two business practices.
Yes, sir. Matanuska Electric Association?
Tony Izzo, yes.
Golden Valley Electric Association?
Travis Million, yes.
Alaska Energy Authority?
Curtis Thayer, yes.
Chugach Electric Association?
Arthur Miller, yes.
The City of Seward?
Brian Hickey, yes.
Homer Electric Association?
Sarah Lamb, yes.
The motion carries, Chair.
Excellent. Thank you very much. That moves us on to item 9, executive session, and there is a motion before you that Jennifer sent out to go into executive session. If somebody can make that motion.
I move that the RTO enter executive session to discuss confidential matters related to the RTO finances and or its legal strategy as described by and for the reasons outlined by counsel, which is consistent with our bylaws.
Second, Hickey.
Thank you. Jennifer, if we could do a roll call vote to proceed into executive session, please.
Yes, sir. Golden Valley Electric Association?
Travis Million, yes.
Alaska Energy Authority?
Curtis Thayer, yes.
Chugach Electric Association?
Arthur Miller, yes.
City of Seward?
Brian Hickey, yes.
Homer Electric Association?
Sarah Lamb, yes.
Matanuska Electric Association?
Tony Izzo, yes.
The motion carries, Chair.
Okay, just let me know when we're off the record.
Okay, Chair, you are back on the record.
Thank you. I would advise the RTO has not taken any formal action on the matters discussed while in executive session, except as authorized by bylaw section 5.12.2 to give direction to an attorney or negotiator regarding the handling of a specific legal matter or pending negotiation. With that, it moves us on to item number 10, member comments. I guess we will start online. Tony, any comments from you?
No, just thank you all. Appreciate the subcommittee work that's been ongoing. And have a good weekend.
Thank you, Tony. Arthur?
Yep, nothing further than that. I agree with Tony. Thanks for the subcommittee work. And at least today's a nice day. It's a chance of rain this weekend. Have a good weekend.
Thank you, Arthur. Jess, do you have any comments for Homer?
Nope. Thanks for all the work from the subcommittee.
Ed, I'll go to you next.
Yeah, thank you, Travis. I'll just note that at the last meeting, I suggested that that because ancillary services are addressed under TO tariffs and not BAs, that there might be needs to be some modification to the policy we passed, but in discussions, there's just a recognition that's going to have to be made that if there are multiple TOs and a balancing authority, that those TOs are going to have to work out a mechanism by which they can comply with the RTO tariff in that instance. So no changes are going to be made to what was passed last meeting on the business practice for secondary service.
Noted. Thank you on that end. Let's see. Going into the room, Mark, any comments from AEA?
No comments. Thank you.
All right. Mr. Hickey, any comments from you?
Just echo the thanks to the subcommittee for all the hard work they're doing, and have a good weekend.
Right. And I would echo those comments as well. I know a lot of work goes into getting these prepared and provided to us. much more time than what it takes for them to actually explain the business practices to us, that is for sure. So I do want to thank the subcommittees on that. Next meeting date, at this point, tentatively scheduled for September 11th. We'll have that locked down here soon. And then with that, if I could entertain a motion to adjourn, please.
So moved.
Tony is over. So moved.
Okay, we got some movements and some seconds. So thank you on that. And Jennifer, if we could do a final roll call vote to adjourn, please.
Yes, sir. Alaska Energy Authority?
Yes.
Chugach Electric Association?
Arthur Miller, yes.
City of Seward?
Ryan Hickey, yes.
Homer Electric Association?
Jess Buller, yes.
Matanuska Electric Association?
Tony Izzo, yes.
Golden Valley Electric Association?
Travis Million, yes.
The motion carries. We are adjourned.
Thank you very much, everybody. Have a wonderful weekend.
Thanks. You guys, too. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.